And then the Seahawks, Monday Night Football. And you said you wanted to spend a chunk of time talking about this game because it's Monday Night Football.
What's Monday Night Football? It's a big deal.
I don't think Monday Night Football means anything anymore. Did you think that Giants-Vikings game last Monday night was a big deal?
You know, we actually had a conversation about this.
In ESPN.
Just when we were at dinner watching the game. And first off, more people watched that Monday Night Football game than watched the World Series last year. I don't think they've got the ratings in from game one. But, okay, so the very worst possible Monday Night Football matchup, the lowest combined record of two teams week seven or later in Monday Night Football history, and still more people are watching than a World Series game.
The ratings were very high for that game. I was reading a Deadspin story about it.
But here's the thing, is you're always going to have a fantasy player playing on Monday night and be interested in that, and it's football. People watch football. People watch the Raiders-Chargers game
what you're
at 11 Eastern.
It's not necessarily that Monday Night Football is a big deal, just that you can take out the Monday night part of that. Football is a big deal.
That is true. But there's also still a Monday Night Football brand. I mean, you're playing when everyone else is sitting at home watching. I mean, I'm starting to quote the commercials, I think, now. But, yeah. You know.
Been waiting all day for Monday night.
And here's the thing is, for a lot of years, the Seahawks were not on Monday Night Football that often. So it was something you took advantage of and cared a lot about when they were.
At some point, I mean, I don't know if we need to debate the merits of Monday Night Football. But at some point, Sunday Night Football became much better than Monday Night Football.
Well, it's written into the contracts.
It is written into the contracts?
Yeah.
Because NBC is paying more for it than ESPN is.
Yeah, and then also the ability to flex changes that significantly. I mean, you know, Minnesota and the Giants didn't look like a great matchup on paper, but I don't think anyone suspected that the Giants were going to be winless and that Minnesota was going to be as terrible as they were.
The only game coming up, so you've got Seattle at St. Louis, Chicago at Green Bay. That's not a terrible game. Miami.
I mean, that would have been a good game if Jay Cutler wasn't hurt.
Miami at Tampa Bay, which is a terrible game. New England at Carolina, which is okay.
That could be a big game by that point if going for it, Ron Rivera.
I think that we play in the biggest of the coming Monday Night Football games.
Without question.
But there's San Francisco at Washington, which I've circled on San Francisco's schedule as a potential loss. There's really just that. They go at New Orleans and they host Carolina. Those are the three potential, and also playing us at home. But then New Orleans at Seattle in week 13, Monday, December 2nd. That is a game that I'm looking forward to.
That is going to be a big one. People are going to be amped up. It'll be the second biggest home game of the year, obviously. But that and the San Francisco
until
game.
Until the playoffs, hopefully. Knocked on wood.
Good call. That and the San Francisco game are so far ahead of everything else on the schedule.
All the other garbage on the schedule. So Monday Night Football, we go into that playing the Rams. The Rams just lost Sam Bradford for the season, which makes it an even less interesting game.
Hopefully.
And what do you think about Sam Bradford?
You know, he was actually having a pretty good season. There's a lot of talk about his future in the wake of this injury, his giant contract and everything like that. But he was throwing the ball, I think, the best of his career over the first 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that was a weird thing that I kept hearing. Somebody was saying that it wasn't that big of a deal that Sam Bradford was hurt for the Rams, that Kellen Clemens wouldn't be that big of a drop-off. And I thought that was such a crazy thing to say. I think that Sam Bradford has played really well, but the general public just hasn't noticed.
Well, because it hasn't translated into wins.
I mean, they're still 3-4. Yeah. They're not a terrible team by any means, and they've played some really good teams in there. It was weird with Sam Bradford. At some point, I think there was so much hype, and he didn't play well enough for so long, or mediocre for so long.
Well, I mean, he was pretty bad last year.
That
he was legitimately pretty bad.
Everybody is determined that they hate Sam Bradford, basically. In fantasy, he was the top quarterback not to be on a team, and he was like the eighth quarterback. Yeah. He's a quarterback who probably should have been on a team, but he still wasn't because it's like a Sam Bradford.
Well, he had some matchups. I mean, I considered him with my quarterback woes, but his schedule was not really great.
In DVOA, he was 11th, and that puts him ahead of Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick. So some quarterbacks who you would definitely consider quote-unquote good quarterbacks.
Or at least they're famous star quarterbacks. They're not people who you're talking about cutting after the year.
The drop-off to Kellen Clemens is pretty significant. Did you ever find any stats on Kellen Clemens?
Yeah, he last played in 2011 and had a minus 11% DVOA. I think he completed like 55% of his passes.
So Seahawks defense playing against Kellen Clemens.
That's an appetizing matchup.
Bradford was hurt near the end of that game last week, right?
I think so.
And so we didn't see a ton of Kellen Clemens. But the Rams were already an offense that was not moving at all before then. I mean, I watched the game, the Thursday night game against the 49ers, and I was like, this is the worst offense I've ever seen.
Well, they got a little better after they got Zach Stacy in at running back, because their running back situation before that, they're averaging under 3 yards a carry, I think. Darrell Richardson had a minus 28% DVOA. Zach Stacy has actually been an above average running back by DVOA so far.
Yeah, Zach Stacy has gotten things moving a little bit. Part of the conversation, I would say a little bit, and I mean that, but part of the conversation, they crushed Houston,
yeah,
but did it largely through turnovers. And kind of stifling the Houston offense. Sam Bradford threw like 16 passes in that game.
But their offense played well when it was on the field. It was just like a bunch of long Houston drives that ended in turnovers. It was a weird game.
But there's been a lot of conversation about how that... So they traded up to draft Tavon Austin. 2 weeks ago, he played three snaps. The more recent week, he's played a little bit more, and they tried to get him into the offense.
And he fumbled.
He had a long play that was taken back by a penalty also. So that was nice. But Brian Schottenheimer, the Rams offensive coordinator, I would say, it's probably his last year on the job.
might be his last week on the job.
He's been heavily criticized by not getting Tavon Austin into the offense. They kind of found Zach Stacy. But now, the person who's hypothetically getting Tavon Austin the ball is Kellen Clemens.
Well, I think that actually might be a reason to get Tavon Austin more involved, because you're not throwing a lot of... You're not asking Kellen Clemens to make a tough throw or a tough read. A lot of what Tavon Austin is going to do is underneath stuff, at the line of scrimmage, you know, wide receiver screens, things of that nature. So maybe this is an opportunity for them to use Tavon Austin more.
It's true, and they have the other threat, who is Jared Cook, who for years upon years was always... Felt like he could be a huge tight end in Tennessee, and they couldn't quite utilize him. He got to St. Louis, had a big first game, and has been non-existent since then.
He's been, you know, a little bit, but he hasn't presented that deep threat as a tight end that I think people are expecting. And I don't think I'm that worried about that with Kellen Clemens under quarterback.
No, I mean, it takes out a big chunk of their offense. I think back to the Football Outsiders preview, which was in the Football Outsiders Almanac, reading about the Rams. Before the season, I was thinking that the Rams probably would be a pretty solid team. It felt like they were a pretty good team last year, and they're adding Jared Cook and Tavon Austin. But Football Outsiders was really down on the Rams, and they were especially down on them because of how much youth they have on offense, and that it basically, in the history of football, since in the DVOA era since 1990, there's never been a team that young that has been a competent team.
What surprised me, you know, I think that first off, Football Outsiders was pretty dead on a lot of that. But what surprised me is that their defense has been as poor as it has, because, you know, I watched them play in the preseason. Alec Ogletree had a monster game. I think that was against the Broncos. And it looked like they've got all these young pieces on defense where it tends to be better to have youth, and that those guys would come together. And instead, they've been 30th in pass defense in the NFL so far.
30th in pass defense, which you have to think Russell Wilson is going to take advantage of, and then also 32nd against the number one wide receiver. So in this case, we're assuming that Golden Tate is Seattle's number one wide receiver.
Yeah, it's not as big of an advantage for the Seahawks as it would be someone who really relies on riding that one guy. But
they've been terrible against every receiver. Good against the tight end.
Yes.
They've been good against the tight end, so Zach Miller might not be as much of a factor in this game. But somebody like, I think, Golden Tate, Sidney Rice, Doug Baldwin...
Jermaine Kearse.
I mean, there's the potential of Percy Harvin playing, which we'll talk about in 1 second.
Yeah.
But
they've also been bad against running backs out of the backfield. So maybe also, a Marshawn Lynch screen or something like that.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch catching the ball. So I would expect the Seahawks, I mean, depending on if the lead opens up pretty big, they might turn to the ground game a little bit more after that. But I would expect them to open it up passing the ball. And I mean, it's not like the Seahawks don't know this information. They don't know how weak the Rams have been against the pass. It seems like Janoris Jenkins, who kind of seemed like he would be a star cornerback last season, has really regressed this year.
Well, he's too busy Googling information about Steve Smith's family.
He just learned how to Google. That was weird. We'll see if he Googles anything about Golden Tate. if he figures it out for a second week in a row.
I mean, if you're going to do it against Steve Smith, then you probably are doing it against everyone.
I think Golden Tate could scrap a little bit. Steve Smith, obviously, noted fighter. But I think
the best of the NFL.
Golden Tate, I think he's built.
I agree. He's got a good fighting build.
He's a short, stout man. I would rather fight
Sidney
Rice than fight Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Sidney Rice is taller. But Golden Tate seems much more aggressive. He breaks all those tackles. I would not want to fight him.
He sometimes breaks into top pots for donuts.
Also, Marshawn Lynch, not a person I would want to fight.
No. Under no circumstance.
But you'd have to assume that the Seahawks pass defense or passing offense is going to gain a lot of traction against the Rams. They'll be able to move the ball pretty easily there.
Yeah, I think, you know, you probably get out to an early lead and you hope to just put pressure on Calvin Clemens, force him into a couple of mistakes, and that could turn it from a close game into a blowout just like we saw against Arizona.
Absolutely, and you would assume that the Seahawks D-line with all the different moving parts is really going to be able to tee off on Calvin Clemens. I would predict 2 interceptions by Clemens and 5 sacks.
Oh.
Something in that range. I mean, you take the number one defense in the league and put them against Kellen Clemens starting his first game since 2011. That's a good situation.
I feel good about that.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this a lot for a lot of the future games. You look at Minnesota coming up at home. I mean, you've got potentially Christian Ponder, potentially Josh Freeman. You got Mike Glennon coming to town.
Oh, man.
There are so many of these games coming up where it's like, who is going to be the quarterback?
I actually fear for Mike Glennon's safety.
Mike Glennon has not been that bad. He's not been as bad as Josh
Freeman.
Yeah, but
like his pocket awareness?
Yeah,
I mean, like, it's one thing to throw the ball. It's one thing, but if you never even get the chance.
He also just looks scared all the time.
Exactly.
You look at Mike Glennon, he's going to be scared. And then Percy Harvin. It's looking like Percy Harvin's probably not going to play this week. Any thoughts on what it would look like if he did?
Well, I just think there's no need to push him for this game at this point. You know, get him. He's gotten some good work in practice with this extended stretch, but I think another week
they
would
practiced
be more helpful.
So few times.
Yeah, they took a lot of time off. It seems, all of us.
They practiced Tuesday, and they're practicing today, and it's like that's the only times they practice. But it has been an extended stretch. It's been, I would assume, nice rest for everybody involved.
Yeah.
It's really nice to not have Russell Wilson get hit for a long period of time, and hopefully against St. Louis's kind of weaker run defense and their weaker pass rush, he won't be taking too many shots this week.
Well, I'm really curious to see if Darrell Bevell is using this as a time in practice as an opportunity to work on how Percy Harvin is going to be integrated into the offense.
I think they absolutely have to be, you know, like playing around with it among the coaches right now before instituting it and just figuring out all the different options. I don't think that he's going to play this week. I think he probably will play against Tampa Bay in a limited role and then really come back and start and like play against Atlanta.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks. I think that'll be his first... like the first game that Percy Harvin really takes an active part in, but it should make a difference.
That makes sense. And I'm curious to say, because we saw the Seahawks offense evolve so much last year with the read option and some pistol and all sorts of things like that. So Darrell Bevell has shown a willingness to mix things up midseason to adjust to his talent. And, you know, Harvin is going to be a unique talent.
Chances of winning for this one?
80%?
Yeah, I don't want to say 95 because they're on the road. If they weren't on the road, it would be up in that. Or if they were at home, it would be up in the 99% range. I'm going to say a 90% chance of victory and 100% chance of devastation if they lose. I mean, that's with any game. But
I say that 100% as well.